Good evening. It's good to see everyone back out this evening. I want to thank you for taking some time out of what I'm sure was a busy day for a lot of us to come back and assemble together and to worship God once again before we begin the week ahead of us. I believe it was just last week that Jeremy preached a sermon where he talked about the importance of spending time in God's Word together, and specifically in our assemblies, and the importance of reading Scripture being a prominent practice when we assemble together to worship. And I'm going to steal a page out of that playbook tonight, and we're going to read a decent amount of text together as a family this evening. And my goal in doing this is to give you something to think about as you begin a new week. We're going to read in just a moment the birth story of Jesus that Keith read a portion of from Luke's account just a moment ago and Cale alluded to in the reading from John chapter 1. But we're going to read Matthew's account of Jesus' birth together in just a minute. And as I was working on this lesson, I have begun by putting together an outline of a sermon that I wanted to preach on the birth of Jesus. And I kept struggling a little bit with how I was going to allocate my time for that, because I believe it was very important to read the entire account of Jesus' birth. As you're going to see in a few minutes, that's going to take us 10 minutes or so to read together. And so if we read for 10 or so minutes, then if I preach a sermon for another 20 or so minutes after that, then time quickly gets away from us. And so what I decided to do is that I'm not about to put my words in front of the words of God. And so we're going to spend the majority of our time reading from the Scripture, and then I'm going to give some very limited comments on that text, and then the lesson will be yours to take with you this evening. So go ahead and open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1. And I would encourage all of you, if you have a Bible with you, to open up there and follow along as we read this. If you don't have a Bible with you, there should be one in the pew nearby. So take advantage of that, grab that, and open up to Matthew chapter 1. We're going to begin reading in verse number 18 of Matthew chapter 1, and we're going to read down through the end of chapter 2. Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 18, and we're going to read through the end of Matthew chapter 2. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. And when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem, and in all its districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah, saying, A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted, because they are no more. Now when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel. For those who sought the young child's life are dead. Then he arose, took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside into the region of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, He shall be called a Nazarene. Again, I'm going to leave you with just a few comments on this, just to get the wheels turning. And my hope is that you take this story with you and you spend some time just meditating on it throughout the next week. The story that we just read is one of the pinnacle stories in the history of mankind. A moment in which our entire destiny, our entire future changed when the Son of God left heaven and came to earth to be born on this earth. What an amazing story it is, and one that we need to spend time thinking about. We need to spend time being thankful for. Spend time in these chapters gleaning from the word what the Holy Spirit wants us to learn about the birth of our Savior. So again, just three quick points to take with you. And the first one comes from verse number 21 in Matthew chapter 1, where we hear for the first time in Matthew's account the name Jesus. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save the people from their sins. Names in the scriptures are very interesting. We see throughout scripture, going all the way back to the Old Testament, names meant something. They were important, and none were more true than Jesus' name. Jesus, the name, meaning that he will save his people from their sins. Before we have even met our Savior, we see that he is coming to earth to do something that mankind is incapable of doing themselves. When we go all the way back to Genesis chapter 1, and we referenced this morning the creation story there. God created heaven on earth. He created a perfect environment for man to live and to dwell with God. And what did man do with that perfect environment that God created? We took heaven on earth and we turned it into hell on earth. And since that moment, since sin entered into this world, mankind has faced a problem that we cannot solve. And by the very name of our Savior, we're told that He's the one who can. Before He was even born, His name represented the fact that He was the chosen one, the one that could save His people from their sins. But there's another name given to us here, just a couple of verses down, in verse 23 of Matthew chapter 1. And this comes from the prophet Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 7. And he's quoted there as saying, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated, "God with us." In Jesus, we see deity meeting humanity. We see God coming to live as man. It's not coincidence, I don't think, that Matthew begins his account of Jesus' life by calling out this prophecy from Isaiah chapter 7 and making mention of the fact that Emmanuel means God with us. And then he concludes the account of Jesus' life in much the same way. Turn over to Matthew chapter 28. Turn over to Matthew chapter 28, the very last words that we have recorded from the resurrected Jesus before he ascends back into heaven. Listen carefully to what he says to his disciples before he departs. Beginning in verse number 19 of Matthew chapter 28. "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." From before Jesus was born into the last words that he spoke, he embodied the fact that God is with us. He came to dwell among mankind, to live with mankind. And when he departed to go back into heaven, the last words that he left with mankind was, "I am still going to be with you." And we can follow that storyline into the book of Acts, where we see the Holy Spirit being sent to fulfill the words of Christ, that God remains with us. God has not abandoned his people, and he never will. He came to solve a problem that we couldn't solve. He came to be with us. He came to encourage us. He came to teach us. He came to save us. And he's with us. There's a sign somewhere in Brownsburg, and I really wish I could remember where it is. I see it a lot, so it's got to be somewhere along some of the paths that I drive frequently. But if you're in and around Brownsburg, you've probably seen it. It's a very brightly colored sign in someone's yard that says, "Just be kind." Has anyone seen that sign? I don't know what the story is behind that. As far as I know, there's nothing else on the sign other than the words, "Just be kind." But it's caught my attention several times. And as I was thinking about some of the lessons that are to be taught to us from the name of Jesus and from the name Emmanuel, that sign popped into my head. Because oftentimes we use phrases like that, "just be kind" or "just be nice to each other," as mankind's way of thinking about how we can go about solving our own problems. That if we were all just nicer to each other, then all of the problems that the world is experiencing would go away if we were just nicer to one another. A lot of problems would go away if we were all nicer to one another. But not all the problems. Because there is a problem that exists amongst man that only God can solve. There's a podcast that I was listening to on a completely unrelated subject, but the phrase that this gentleman used in the podcast was interesting, and so I'm going to throw it out here in context of what we're studying today. He said a situation like this is like giving vitamin C to someone with a broken leg. Vitamin C is good for us. It's not going to help with the broken leg. Being kind to one another is good for humanity. It doesn't help with the problem of sin. Only God can solve that problem. Only Jesus can save. Only Emmanuel is with us, helping us overcome sin. Jesus embodied in every way the greatest gift that has ever been given to mankind, the manifestation of God's grace. And that is seen in his very name. The first introduction of Christ to mankind, as deity meets humanity, we see that Jesus came to solve a problem that we ourselves are unable to solve. And finally, and the last one that I want us to look at before we stop this evening is found in the second chapter of Matthew. Oftentimes when we're telling the story of Jesus' birth, or many times we see the story of Jesus' birth told or depicted around Christmas time, most of that story is confined to the second half of chapter 1 and the first half of chapter 2. The second half of Matthew chapter 2 paints a very uncomfortable picture of what happened when Jesus entered the picture. The second half of Matthew chapter 2, as we read just a minute ago, King Herod goes about trying to destroy this child who is being called the king. You can probably just imagine how he would have taken that news. If you went up to President Trump right now and said, "Hey, Mr. Trump, can you introduce me to the real president?" How do you think that's going to go over? The same is true with Herod. People were coming to Herod, the king, and saying, "Hey, where's the king?" And so he sought to kill the baby Jesus. And when he couldn't find him, he took his anger out on other young children. And we read about a slaughter that took place of baby boys 2 years of age and younger. We see Jesus' family having to run for their lives. We're going to see, as if we continued on reading, that multiple generations of kings to follow Herod would try and do the same, try and seek out Jesus to put him to death. Think about the families who lost their child because Jesus was born. What that teaches me, and what I would encourage you to contemplate on this week, is that where God is, evil will be close behind. And the stronger God's presence, the more intense that evil will become. As Christians, we have turned our life over to God, as we talked a little bit about this morning. We've invited Him into our lives to be a part of us, to lead us, to guide us. Evil is going to follow. Satan will not sit idly by and allow that to happen without a fight. And before Jesus could even speak, evil was right on his heels. And it followed him throughout his life, and it's going to follow us throughout ours. we need to be prepared to deal with evil in this world. It's not going away. And the more intensely we serve God, the more intensely our faith grows, the stronger Satan is going to fight back. Be prepared for that. The story of Jesus' birth is one that I think deserves our time and our contemplation and our meditation. And I would encourage you over the next few hours, over the next few days, to just take some time to sit with this passage. To think about what happened when God sent His Son to dwell on this earth and all of the implications that surround that. Think about what that means for you personally. Think about what that means for us as a church. Think about the hope that that brought into the world. Think about the evil that follows. If you're here this evening, before we stop, we want to extend to you an invitation to turn your life over to Christ, to the Son of God who came to this earth, who walked on this earth, and who died to forgive us of our sins. You have an opportunity this evening, if you haven't done so, to be baptized into Christ, to come in contact with His blood, to be raised up a new creature, forgiven of your sins. If you've done that, but perhaps the life that you're living right now, the decisions that you're making, the path that you've chosen, doesn't align with the life of Christ and the characteristics that He embodied. He's giving each of us a chance to correct those things. He's given each of us a chance to ask Him for forgiveness. He's given each of us a chance to turn back to Him, to realign our lives with Christ, and to live in harmony with Him once again. So if we can help you do that this evening, if we can help you with any spiritual needs that you might have, please come to the front and let us know how while we stand and sing.